Calgary Flames Calgary fans. Flames fans.
It's time for it's Flames, time for Flames Unfiltered.
Unfiltered.
Entertaining and controversial hockey.
With your host, Brad Brews.
Flames at Yarn Crock. It's Stanley Cup or bust in Calgary. Welcome to Flames Unfiltered. It's an exciting week of Flames hockey. Lots of wins and another addition to the roster as this team gets cocked and loaded, ready for Stanley Cup playoffs. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. Good to have you with us here tonight as we get into episode 118 of the show. And lots to talk about tonight. Is the NHL trade deadline just days away? Next Monday is the big day. Everything has to be taken care of by then. Are the Flames done? I don't know. We'll talk about it on the show. Apologies for last week's show. You know, I talked about some of the negative fans, and it's frustrating this year, in a year that I haven't remembered this confident and strong of a team, like through and through, and this consistent. And I ripped some fans last week because it just seems like people want to just keep bringing up negative stuff and negative stuff. And I headlined the show as negative fans, and I probably shouldn't have said that because not all the fans have been negative. I should have probably called it negative talk, but hopefully I didn't make all of you guys mad and frustrated, but because I'm not talking about everybody, just, and I get negative from time to time too. I'm just trying to, freaking we're good. I mean, we're winning games like crazy. There's not a lot to bitch about, but people just like to bitch. Yarn Crock trade, the biggest news in Calgary this week, and the town's buzzing, man. Everybody's hopping, ready to go and get on board and see how the red mile is during the playoffs. And man, it's fun. It's fun to actually look at the, you know, like the playoffs as they stand today and the races and be like, yeah, I feel like our team's a top five contender in the league. And it's a good feeling. A lot of good things this week. One of the funniest moments this week was when Daryl Sutter had the super quote of the year, and it was, if you're a wild card team, I'm sure as hell, I gotta start over. Jeepers, can't read. If you are a wild card team, I sure as hell don't want to play Colorado in the first round because it's going to be a waste of 8 days. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was probably true too, because that is going to be a hell of a tough out. And it'll be interesting to see, if the Flames meet the Avalanche, and when would it be? And I feel confident now saying this team's going to get into the playoffs. It's just a matter of, you know, how we can progress, how we're running, how we are with injuries, and how we're going to, you know, move through the playoffs. And I guess time will tell there. And all us Flames fans that are used to the doom and gloom and the go into the playoffs strong and get bumped in the first round, we got to get that out of our system and have good thoughts. But nice moment this week, Saturday, the Flames game against Detroit. It was Dean Morton's 1,005 games and his final game refereeing in the NHL. It was cool because all the players lined up after the game and congratulated him with handshakes and everything like that. So that was really cool. It's always fun to see. And it was also funny because Johnny Gaudreau and Dylan was giving Dylan Larkin a little stick job in the rear end, and Dylan Larkin grabbed his stick and yanked it away. And I know they play together in some, in Team USA stuff. So, friends there giving each other a little bit of a hard time. And, that was kind of fun to see and kind of fun to watch. So, good moment in the game and a feel good moment. Today's show, it's jam-packed, man. Today's episode is, it's rocking, it's jam-packed. We're going to go through the recap the four games from last week. Then we'll talk about the big trade as Callie Yarncrock is on his way to Calgary. And then we'll preview what lies ahead for the Flames as they get closer to Monday's NHL trade deadline. Are the Flames done? I don't know. I'm back and forth on it. How about you? Then we'll roll into some Flames news from the Pacific. Very interesting Facebook poll, which kind of got me in a little bit of trouble today on Facebook, but we're going to talk about that. We'll preview this weekend's games and all the good fun stuff on another busy edition. Thanks for joining on Flames Unfiltered. Questions during the live show, fire them in the comment box, and we'll hit them up towards the end of the show. thank you for joining us. All right, Flames fans, some games to talk about this week. Lots of games, actually. Lots of wins, so not too bad. That was positive talk. Let's roll back back to last Thursday night. Tampa Bay and Calgary. Calgary comes out with a 4-1 win. 32 shots on goal to Tampa Bay's 31, but I thought it was pretty dominating performance from the Flames. Markstrom with the win. Johnny Gaudreau with a game winner. He has 3 goals, a hat trick. 2 of them. Bounces them off the rear end of the goalie and in. You don't see that too often, do you? Markstrom with allows 1 goal on 32 shots, or 31 shots. So good save percentage, a 0.96 plus save percentage. Gabranson gets an assist. All in all, a really, really good night from the Flames. And against the defending Stanley Cup, two-time defending Cup, Stanley Cup champs. And even Monahan got into the mix as he got into it with Stamkos. And Stamkos did the old jump him at the end. I didn't understand that one. That's not very Stamkos. Like, made him look like a little whiny. That's not Stamkos. No, not at all. Then Saturday night, an early night hockey night in Canada at the Saddle Dome. Detroit in town, and Calgary just freaking dominated. 3-0 shutout for Markstrom, his 9th of the year. Calgary got on the board in the first, 0 in the second, 2 in the third. I think shots were 12-1 after one, just a complete domination of the Detroit Red Wings. Rasmus Anderson had 24 minutes on the ice, an assist. Lindholm gets another goal, and, another shutout from, 19 save shutout from Jacob Markstrom. And he's, dialed in, and man, you know, I've learned one thing this year. Having a top end goalie is so much better. It's just so much easier to go out, day in and day out and, just feel like you're going to win and have that confidence that you're going to win. And, you look at teams like Edmonton and Toronto and, teams that are in Vegas for that matter, who are, reeling with losses and goaltending issues. And you just can't, it's not a problem you can just fix and just easily, fix right away and bring somebody up. You know, it took the Flames a while to be able to maneuver to get Markstrom, and it was really, they were in a battle. Why Edmonton was involved in that to get Markstrom. But boy, it changes the perspective of the team, with the confidence when you got a guy like Markstrom in net. Now Sunday, Calgary got an airplane late Saturday night, flew from Calgary to Colorado. And they take on the Avalanche Sunday night, and you know, the Flames look tired. They did. And I've only said that maybe 2 or 3 times this year. It wasn't that we made a bad effort. I mean, the effort was there. Just, this team just looked tired. You know, Vladar gets a start. I thought he was fine. Probably would I like to have the second one back. But all in all, I didn't think like we lost because of him. Obviously we didn't even score. Final score was, 3-0. Calgary outshoots, Colorado 46-32. Nathan MacKinnon is so good. 2 goals by MacKinnon. And, that guy is just that good. I hope this doesn't come back to haunt me for saying this, but I worry more about him than I do Connor McDavid. I really do. I worry that much about him. And, I don't know. We'll see. That's going to be like Sutter said. He doesn't, pull any punches. He says it like it is. And that's going to be a hell of a series. Whoever gets them in the first round. Wednesday night, last night, which is a night we usually do the show Wednesday nights because the Flames don't usually play Wednesday nights. So usually Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, we fire up the show. And, so we had to shuffle a day. We're doing it on Thursday just because of the game last night, but Calgary takes on New Jersey last night, 6-3 final, outshoot them 40-33. The score looks worse than the game really was. I didn't think New Jersey was that bad, really. Calgary gets another game where they net 6 goals, believe it or not. Dylan Dubé gets off the snide. It's good to see him score. He had a goal and an assist. And then, goal from Richie last night, first point of the year. He gets a goal there. Tanev had an assist. Mahjupani with a home goal. which is nice to see him, you know, ticking at home like he does on the road. Markstrom with him, his 29th win of the year, and the game-winning goal goes to Matthew Tkachuk. All in all, another good. It was a night where, you know, I wouldn't give him a grade A. I probably would even give him a grade B. I'd give him a grade C. But the difference is this team, they can have an off night like that and still find a way to win. And that's what differentiates good teams from teams that are going to struggle through parts of the season. That's something we would have never seen from our team last year, but this year we're getting that, and that's great to see. So, yeah, all in all, another strong week. This week calms down with games just a little bit, as this team's just been hell bent, just having games one after another, and it's been exciting though. Flames are winning. All right, Flames fans, we are going to cut out here and go to our Flames shorts. I don't know if you've seen what a Flames Unfiltered short is. That's where when there's something breaking, where there's something that's got me fired up, just various news throughout the team. And I can't wait till the next podcast to talk about it. I fire out a Flames Unfiltered short. And they're usually 5 to 10 minutes long. And I talk about the recent breaking news or a special game or something, you know, that went down that was interesting. This week, you know, last night, news broke that Calgary acquired Cale Yarncroke from the Seattle Kraken. And yeah, here's my thoughts on that one. Hey, Brad Brood here with Flames Unfiltered. Time for another Flames Unfiltered shorts as we got big news in Calgary. Another trade heading up until Monday's deadline. Calgary makes another deal as Brad Treliving comes through in bringing Cale Yarncroke to the Calgary Flames. Now, I talked about this on a couple of other episodes about how he was a guy that I had targeted that I really would like to see on this team just because I believe he's going to be a good fit in the role we're looking for to fill. So what happened? Here's how the trade goes down. The Flames get Cale Yarncroke, a pending UFA. He has a $2 million cap hit. Seattle retains 50% of that, so $1 million will count against Calgary's cap. Seattle gets a 2022 second-round pick, the one we got from Florida for Sam Bennett, a 2023 third-round pick, and a 2024 seventh-round pick. I feel a fair return, a good return. I don't know. I guess about the return I expected. I know there was other teams in the hunt. The LA Kings were interested. The Washington Capitals were interested. And I believe this is a fair return. The good news, no roster players were moved in this deal. Building a team for a cup run. I like our core. I like our group. Bringing Cale Yarncroke in, going to help a lot. I think it's going to be as impactful as a Tyler Toffoli. I hope I'm not proven wrong on that one. All right. You got to also think about it this way. And you think about the Sam Bennett deal last year, right before the deadline, and how he's turned into quite a player for the Florida Panthers. But think about this. So Treliving turns Sam Bennett, who Seattle would have drafted in the expansion draft, almost sure of it. So we would have lost him anyway. So he turned him into a second rounder, which in turn we get Cale Yarncroke for. So now we're able to have Toffoli and Yarncroke basically for what Sam Bennett would have been for this team. And it's interesting, and you can always look back at what ifs and what, you know, what if we'd have kept Sam Bennett, but we would have lost him for sure in the expansion draft. So we ended up sacrificing Giordano, which we thought at the time was going to be troublesome, and we've worked through that and proven that that really wasn't troublesome. So having to spend that pick that we got is probably exactly what I would have wanted to spend on this deal. So now's where the problem comes in, is where cap management becomes a problem. Because with this move now, the Flames have $164,000 available
as of right now, for the cap at the trade deadline, that calculates out at about $820,000. I don't know. Maybe you could add a depth of, I don't know really what you're going to add for $820,000. Let's put it that way. To be cap compliant, they did have to send down Adam Ruziska. We'll see today if any players get put on waivers. That'll kind of be interesting to see what direction they want to go there. Now, some information about Yarncroc. He is actually Elias Lindholm's cousin. He is Jacob Markstrom's good friend. He's happy to be headed to Calgary, according to his press conference and everything. I think he's going to be a good fit. Spent most of his career in Nashville, a career high of 16 goals, a career high of 35 points in a season. He's going to create secondary scoring. He works his ass off. Scored against Calgary earlier this year when we played Seattle, but this guy's a hard worker. This guy's going to fit into the Daryl Sutter mold very, very well. He's versatile. He can play center. He can play right wing. He is a right shot, and he's a responsible, hardworking guy. Other crazy facts with this one is he's from a town of 75,000 in Sweden. I'm going to say the town name, and it'll probably be wrong, but I believe it's Gavel. Lindholm is from there. Yarncroc is from there, and Mark's from there. All three of those guys from a town of 75,000. How crazy is that? The Flames have a huge Swedish team. It's crazy. They've got Markstrom, Lindholm, Backlund, Anderson, Shillington, and now Yarncroc. That's crazy to have that much Swedish players on a team, but they work well together and they work hard. And this team is coming together. And I'm really interested to see where he fits into the lineup. I would suspect on Friday night when we play Buffalo that we're going to see Lindholm centering Gaudreau and Tkachuk, which has been the line all year. I got a feeling we're going to see Backlund centering Lewis and Coleman. I think Yarncroc will fall in at center to Toffoli and Mangiapane, and then we'll see the Monahan, Dubé, Lucic as the fourth line. A twist to that one would be as if they put him on wing. And Sutter did say today that he has not made a determination whether he's going to be a winger or a center. I don't know if I'm sold on the fact that I don't want Ruziska at one of the centers. Now, he's been sent down to the minors, and Sutter said yesterday that he'd rather have Ruziska in the minors than playing on the fourth line in Calgary. Well, if he's centering a fourth line that's going to be a somewhat productive fourth line, because we always already have our shutdown line in Coleman, Backlund, and Lewis, would it really be a fourth line if he was with Dubé and Lucic? I don't know. I mean, that's interesting to see what happens. Another twist is you could have Lindholm centering Tkachuk and Gaudreau. Don't mess with that line. And have Backlund centering Yarncroc and Coleman, Ruziska centering Toffoli and Mangiapane, and then Monahan with Lewis and Lucic, and have Dubé as a floater. We'll see. I've questioned Dubé's play a little bit this year. Had a real good night last night, but I don't know how he might be the guy that I don't know how he fits in. And Lucic lately has been a turnover king, so I don't know. Maybe you shuffle in a Dubé-Lucic switch there and play Yarncroc on a wing. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I hate to see Ruziska go down because I think he's going to be a key part of this Flames team heading into the future seasons. Just good to see another big move from Brad Treliving. I've loved his moves this year. I've loved how this team has come together. I think it's amazing that the good Branson-Zadorov pair has been worked out so well this year. Is this the final piece? I think that's really the question that everybody in Calgary wants to know. If the Flames stop right now, I understand it because of the cap. And I don't know how many more pieces we need. The acquisition of Cali Yarncroc is going to be a big, big hole filled up front for this team.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk about that NHL trade deadline as it gets close, as Monday is the deadline. And what will the Flames be doing? Is it all in? I think so. And if I was general manager, it would be all in. This is as good a chance as we've had since we won the Stanley Cup at winning it. Don't forget, in 04 and in the other runs that we've been on, we weren't expected to be making those runs. You know, this year you look at this team and you look at how consistent this team has been all year and how they've been built and how the systems that they're playing and how well they're following the system. They're built for this. And now when you're a general manager, you got to just plug in the right pieces here and hope that you make the right calls. And every call that Trelivan's made this year has been pretty good. You know, you look at his priority 1, 2, 3, and you start checking them off, and we've got to be down to priority 3 right now. And the only thing that I could see that we would need would be maybe some more depth on defense. I've heard people talking about depth on forward still, like a Nick Paul. I just don't think that we're going to have enough to offer up for what they're going to be asking in Ottawa there. Ryan Carpenter in Chicago, he's another million-dollar guy. That's a possibility. Vinny Hinostroza in Buffalo. I don't know if they're going to, that one's going to go, if we're going to be able to offer up enough for that. Where we probably need to fill, when you look at the defense heading to the playoffs, and the talk is always, you know, you need 10 defensemen coming through, and, you know, we have our top six, and then you have Stone, you have Valimaki, you got Connor Mackey, you know, we're up to 9. You know, do you add a Brett Kulak? Price Day, 1.85. I don't know how you fit that in. He's a lefty for Montreal. Dean Kukin, $1.65 million. He's a lefty in Columbus. Robert Haig in Buffalo, $1.6 million. Another left defenseman. I don't know how you fit those in, but those are the guys that have been talked about, and we'll see what happens there. As for, you know, a big move, I don't foresee this team being able to make a big move. The only way that it could happen, if Toffoli and Yarncroft weren't enough, I don't know, to make people happy, but, you know, the Monahan possibility was floated out there this week, by Daily Faceoff, Frank Cervelli. And, you know, that's the only way we would be able to make a big move. But the only thing, you know, the thing there is, I just don't know who's going to, you know, take his salary on without giving up a big prospect. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But what you could do, like in an ideal situation, would be if you're able to move Monahan, use that money, or, you know, make the compensation trade, bring you back like a top-end UFA, or semi-top-end UFA, I guess you'd say, that could fill another roster spot, and then, you know, don't re-sign him and use that money in the offseason to try to solidify a Kachuk Gaudreau signing. There's a lot of money that needs to go out this summer to pay the salaries, and Monahan's going to have to be off the books one way or another. Boy, it would be nice to be able to move him at the deadline, but I look at that one as highly, highly doubtful. Cap space right now, as we sit today, $124,000. We'll see. Are the Flames done? That's the big question headed into deadline, and I think they are done. I do. I think that it's even going to be tough with the cap to even bring in a depth defenseman, which I think would be the most realistic piece that would be added. They made two big moves, and these are giant moves. Getting Toffoli and Yarncroft, and just because they're not done on deadline day and Trelivan got after it and got ahead of the curve and brought him in early, I look at that as a bonus. The only way there'll be any more, you know, semi-big moves is if Monahan goes down the road, and we'll see what happens there. But I feel like it's going to be fairly quiet as we head into deadline, but you just never know with Brad Trelivan. All right, Flames. Time for a little bit of Flames news. Shillington did miss the Detroit and Colorado game with an injury, his lower body injury, and it was one that kind of snuck up on the team Trevor Leaving said after the Detroit game that they were a little surprised. He never mentioned anything to the training staff. He said he had a couple of nagging things for days he thought would go away, but they bit him a little bit, and certainly nobody on the organization anticipated the injury and him being out for it. But he was out for two games back in against New Jersey last night. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked like he was back firing on all cylinders. Mark Giordano. Mark Giordano celebrated his 1,000 game last night in Seattle, was a scratch, which was an awkward, weird situation. But he was a scratch because he's most likely getting traded before Monday's trade deadline. I think Giordano will land in Toronto. We'll see what happens there. There was an interesting thing that I did see this week. According to Frank Cervelli, the Flames, since they sent Gio to Seattle, Seattle can't send Gio back to the Flames and retain salary. They have to at least wait one calendar year before they could retain salary. I think that's all said and done, that Giordano's not coming back to Calgary. As much as I was a Giordano fan, and I always have been and always will be, I'm kind of glad that he's not, simply because we move past that. I like our 6D. I think they're really, really good right now, and I like where this team's going. Other Flames news, Lanny McDonald was named to the Order of Canada, so that's a nice honor for him. Lindholm's goal track is just out of control. He is at 30. Listen to this. He's the first Flames player to score 30 goals in fewer than 60 games since Jerome Iginla did it in 06-07. And the last time a Flames player scored 40 goals, which he is well on pace to score 40 this year, that was not named Iginla, yeah, Theo Fleury. It's been that long. Other good news, the Flames have guys, three of players on pace for 40 goals. Lindholm, Tkachuk, Mangiapane, all of them on pace for 40 goals this year. Markstrom notched his ninth shutout against Detroit, was also the second star of the week in the National Hockey League last week, which is his second time in this calendar month. Nobody else can say that in the National Hockey League. He stopped 19 shots for another shutout against Detroit. Gets him one more to the single season record by Mika Kiprusoff, and moves him up into fourth all-time amongst Calgary Flames goalies. He's got a ways to go. Kiprusoff had 41 shutouts. Man, Markstrom's week. Listen to this. 3.010, 0.67, 0.974 save percentage. Yeah, that'll get you second star in the National Hockey League. Backlund had a neat milestone last night, 804th career game. That's the most appearances in a Flames uniform by any drafted Flame ever. That's quite an honor. Backlund's been a good player for the Flames since he came into the league. And yeah, that's quite an honor for Michael Backlund. Some roster changes this week as Adam Ruziska was sent down. Connor Mackey came up to fill in for Shillington, and Shillington was hurt. Then, you know, with the trade and everything, then Mackey went back. Let me get this straight. Mackey went back and Ruziska came up, and then the trade happened, and then Ruziska was sent back to Stockton. And, yeah, Shillington's back in the lineup. Ruziska goes back to make that spot for Yarncrook. So kind of a back and forth all over the place there as far as roster moves go. Where do the Flames sit in the standings? Right now they sit first in the Pacific, out front with 81 points. They are 7-2-1 in their last 10. An oppressive 19-5-5 home record. The Los Angeles Kings are 7 points back. 7 points back at 74. The Flames have two games in hand on them. Edmonton sits in third at 70. Vegas fourth at 68. One behind is the Vancouver Canucks, who were dead in the water back after they've won 7-2-1 in their last 10. They're sitting at 67. Anaheim at 65 in sixth. San Jose 60 in seventh. And the lowly Seattle Kraken, 42 points in eighth place. Who's buyers and who's sellers in the Pacific? I think the buyers are going to be LA, Edmonton, Vancouver, or Vegas. The sellers, Anaheim, San Jose, Seattle. No idea on Vancouver. That one's so up in the air. I watch every night to see what Vancouver does, just to see where this team's sitting. Cause if they're not going to make the playoffs and then they don't make any moves, that's going to set this franchise back. So they're either going to have to determine this week a lot of what happens. So Edmonton now, they're saying they don't want to go out and get a, they're not going to go out and get a goalie. Koskinen's been really good lately, which he has. Varlamov, they were after him. He says he's not going to Edmonton. Can't hardly blame him. Vegas, boy, Vegas. What a tailspin. 3-7-0 in the last 10 games are holding on to that final wild card spot. And if things couldn't get worse, they had to go back to Buffalo. Eichel's first time back. The boos were there. Eichel was quick-witted and somewhat, I guess, cocky, arrogant after the game. So that's the loudest he had heard the place ever. It only took 7 years of me leaving for them to get into a game. I don't know. You can probably say that if you won, you lost. 3-1 that night to the Buffalo Sabres. Buffalo's on a little bit of a run. That's who comes into town tomorrow night. That ought to be interesting to see how that goes down. Now, today on Facebook, I talk about these Facebook groups all the time. And I do it because I love these Facebook groups. And that's where I talk Flames news all the time. And I am part of the group, the Flames Hub and Calgary Flames fans and some other ones too. But I posed a question on there today on my one question that's probably created the most controversy. I asked the question, would you sacrifice moving Jacob Pelletier as a combo trade with Sean Monahan to free up his $6.5 million of cap space? And here's why I asked that question. To get things to work next year, I almost feel like you're not going to be able to have Monahan's money on the books. So that being said, do you sacrifice a young talent to be able to extract that money off the cap so that you can solidify Tkachuk and Gaudreau? I get crucified on Facebook for even asking this question. The poll did show this, and 69% of the people said no, they would not do it. And 31% said that they would do this. Now, some of the people responded back to me of, you know, Jacob Pelletier is not a piece fit for a combo trade. Well, what prospect is? I asked that question. But then I also wanted people to see what my perspective was on this. And I'm not saying I want to do this, but I want to make sure we get Gaudreau and Tkachuk signed. We got Mangiapane to worry about. We got, is it our third pairing defense is got to get something done. Shillington needs a raise. Like, we got a lot of things to take care of. Well, if we could free up his cap space, then we get able to sign our stars. We know what we're going to get from our stars. We don't know what we're going to get from Pelletier, which I do think he's going to be a great player, but we don't know that for sure yet. I think sacrificing him or another one of our top prospects would be smart to be able to guarantee us the money to get those other guys signed. Now, I realize there's no guarantee that Gaudreau is going to sign here, whether we offer him $12 million, you know, or $6 million. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that pans out. I got crucified for this question. I'm just trying to think a little bit ahead. And like I talked about in the Yarncroc segment of the show, you know, if we were able to do that, we might even be able to piggyback another guy into Monahan's spot on the roster for the playoff run. That's a UFA. He goes bye-bye. That salary goes bye-bye, and we use the money to solidify the Gaudreau contract. Just trying to make this team so that we have every tool we have in the toolbox for the playoff run. But yeah, we have a little bit more cap freedom coming out of the playoff run. It's going to be tricky. It's going to be interesting. Couple questions. Justin checks in. Justin Thompson. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. Good to have you on the show. Ford Davidson writes, it frustrates me how much flack Sutter gives Vladar. You know, that's a good question. And I love these comments. I fire more on me, man. I want to talk some hockey here now. You know, I agree with you. I think Vladar has been really good this year, and I don't know what Sutter's, and I'm a big pro Sutter guy. I like the way he does things, but I have to agree. I think he's been overly hard on Vladar. I think it scares me because what happens if Markstrom goes down with an injury? We have to rely on Vladar. He needs to have confidence. And it seems like after every game, Sutter gives a short jab about he should have had that one. He should have had that one. He should have had that one. Well, if he had all those, he'd be the $6 million goalie or the $9 million goalie, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. I think Vladar's done very, very well this year. And I'm interested to see all I said at the beginning of the year is this guy's got to get 10. This guy's got to get 10 wins on the year. And he's right there. He's going to get it. I'm interested to see when he plays this weekend. I'd play him tomorrow night. I don't think Sutter will, but we'll see. I think he's been fine. I agree with you. I think he's getting kind of the raw end of the stick. So, we'll see if that changes. Good question. I appreciate the questions. Anytime during the show, just fire off, comments. And at this segment of the show is when I usually, are able to answer them. But, yeah, we'll see what happens this weekend.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All Flames fans, what lies ahead this weekend? Yeah, starts tomorrow night as the Buffalo Sabres head into the Saddle Dome. Buffalo currently sits sixth in the Atlantic with 48 points. Been on a little bit of a run, though, lately, a little bit of heater. I think they're 3-0-0 in their last three, so good little run for them. Second of two meetings, Calgary beat Buffalo 5-0 on November 18th in Buffalo. Saturday night, back-to-back, Calgary hits the road right after the game. And Vancouver comes into Calgary. I think I got that wrong. I think we're up in Vancouver this weekend, right? Gosh, am I losing my mind? I swear we're in Vancouver. Let me check here. This whole show has been a gong show. I've been having technical errors all night tonight, technical difficulties. So I might as well have another one here as we go. Yes, it is in Vancouver. I got it wrong on my schedule here. That is Saturday night hockey night in Canada. The late game. Vancouver currently sits fifth in the Pacific, 67 points. Critical game for them. See if they can overtake the Vegas Golden Knights. A third of four meetings between the two teams. Calgary beat Vancouver 1-0 in Calgary on January 28th. And in Vancouver, yeah, we won't forget this one. February 24th, Vancouver crushed the Flames 7-1. And what I thought was the worst performance of the Flames all year, they'll play again one more time, April 23rd in Calgary. On Tuesday, the San Jose Sharks come to the Saddle Dome. And that's a scary meeting because we are not very good against the seventh place in the Pacific, San Jose Sharks, who have 60 points on the year. This is a third of four meetings. San Jose beat Calgary on November 9th, 4-1 in Calgary. Beat them again December 7th, 5-3 in San Jose. Yeah. Hopefully this one goes better on Tuesday night. They're going to play one last time in San Jose on April 7th. Whew. It's a lot of stuff as I cruise through the show today, man. It was a crazy show. All unorganized. I had a little few mess ups here tonight here with the technical difficulties on the Yarn Crook interview. Oh boy. Oh well. All right. Monday is NHL trade deadline. All day that day, you can go to flamesunfiltered.com. And we're going to have a live blog going all day where we're going to be able to talk about things as they're happening as the day goes on. Look for a Flames Unfiltered shorts that day. Break down the NHL trade deadline. And then we're back again on the 23rd next Wednesday night to recap everything that went down in the Pacific Division with the Flames and other teams in our division. At the NHL trade deadline, I'm going to have a good guest on the show that week. And, yeah, lots of good things to talk about. And push to the playoffs will be starting. Whew, we got a lot going on in Calgary. It's been balls to the wall, busy schedule. Have a fun Friday night watching the new Flame wear. Yeah, number 91. Yarn Crook will be wearing number 91 as he makes his Flames debut. Friday night as the Buffalo Sabres come to town. Get on over, check out flamesunfiltered.com. Make sure you're on there Monday, a live blog all day long. That'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, tell your friends, man. If you're a Flames fan, please help me out. Let's get this out there more. Let people know where they can find and watch the show. I really appreciate each and every person listening to the show. You can catch it on any of the major podcast players. The video version's all over on YouTube at Flames Unfiltered or at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review us. please spread the word. That's where we really get the listeners. Thanks so much. Have a great week, Flames fans. It's a good time to be a Flames fan. Go Flames.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.